Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
You know, this morning I just want to take you back a couple of thousand years. And kids, you can come on this journey too. You know, we don't have kids' church this morning, but it's okay to sit in big church. It's okay to hear what we talk about. It's okay to you know, get your head around some of the big words and the ideas, because as you hear them, they'll put pieces of the puzzle in to what you do in kids' church, and things will make more sense. So you're welcome to stay, but if your legs do get a bit wobbly, that's okay as well. Our creche room is just for the babies, but older kids, you are welcome to go out into the foyer with a responsible adult and do some colouring or something. But let's go back a couple of thousand years. You know, our world back when Jesus was born and lived, it was turbulent, it was gruesome, it was ugly, and it was dominated by an empire, the Roman Empire. They stretched out across the known world. They conquered other people, they subdued other people, and they had just, you know, about 30 BC roughly, they just kind of established the emperor. Now we've had Caesar, Julius Caesar, we've had leaders of this empire, but this strange happening was going on where the emperor was being established as the ultimate leader of humanity. And this emperor's name was Octavius, but he was called Augustus. Augustus actually had this funny meaning that he was the first of all mankind, well, all humankind. And all these little intricate things are going on where worship of gods is being, you know, just reinvigorated. And to this emperor, the people are starting to lift up as a god, to worship him as a god. And he's gathering to himself wealth and fame and domination over the whole known world. There are soldiers and you know, the whole gladiator thing's starting, and all of that's going on, and these people are dying for his glory, for him to be the ultimate on earth. But in a little backwater of this vast empire, at the same time as that's going on, there was a baby that was born. And this baby left wealth, left glory, left all the abundance that he had in heaven, and he gave it up to come to earth. God, the actual God, the real one true God, was coming down to earth, was leaving all his glory, was leaving everything. He forsook his wealth and he forsook his worship. where the angels had been honoring him and worshiping him and bowing down to him constantly, he let it all go. And then he chose to die for everyone else so that we could have the glory, his glory with him. What a ridiculous picture. What an incredible thing. The two contrasting situations in our world that were happening side by side. How different could they be? Why? Why would God do that? Why would God leave all that glory and wealth and make himself nothing, as Philippians says? Why wasn't he counteracting this human worship and human making into God? You know, in Romans 5, verse 12 and 18 and 19, it said, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. The problem of evil that we talked about had entered God's perfect world. That's what Adam represents. The perfection that God created, that he breathed into being, was corrupted by one act. And that one act brought shame into our world. And with that one act also came the first sacrifice. The sacrifice of an animal to cover that shame. The sacrifice of an animal to provide clothing to cover the shame that had happened. And so this whole concept of sacrifice, of something has to happen to cover up, to deal with the evil, the wrong that has happened in the world. But right from the beginning, God showed how that problem is going to be solved and how the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice that we sing about, the sacrifice that we celebrate, how that sacrifice was going to be far and above what any animal could do, far and above just covering up the shame, but could actually get rid of the whole problem and completely wash clean any problem there was. You know, God talked about this. He, you know, right at the beginning, actually, in Genesis 3:15, right when he's dealing with these people, Adam and Eve, who have just disobeyed him and just broken his heart. Right when he's dealing with them and dealing with that rotten snake that, you know, he says, I will cause hostility between you. He's speaking to the snake, or, you know, Satan. And the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. You know, right back in the garden, God said, there's going to be problems. There's going to be a problem. There's going to be, Satan, you're going to hassle these people. You are going to be causing problems. But right back in the garden, he said, but you're not going to have the victory. He, prophesying Jesus, he will be the one to strike your head. He will be the one that will have the victory. A man on earth, his son, will win. He's, you know, it's all through our Bible. Because it wasn't the third option or the second option. It wasn't plan, whatever. It was the plan. It was what was always going to happen. And in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." God knew that it was going to be his son. It was going to be his son that was going to be just completely crushed. That it was his son that was going to be the one that was pierced. That punishment was going to be on him and not on us. Over and over again, he let his people know, said, it's coming. It's coming. And even though it seems interesting that while the people are raising up a person to be a god, I find it quite amazing that that's the time that God chooses to come down as a man, just as he promised. But what does that mean for us? Like, what is that significance? What connection do we have to those two people right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis? How does it all fit in? And what does it mean for us? You know, when we hear this message, when we hear this message of the good news, this good news that this Jesus died on a cross and that he rose again, what happened? Like, what does it do for us? I reckon there's four things. Well, you know, there's lots of things, but let's look at four things. Four things that just so completely turn our world around. They don't bring us riches. They don't bring us peace, like in terms of everything's easy. They don't make our lives glossy and perfect. But they change our world in incredibly significant ways. The first one, we sang about it this morning. We are redeemed. We're redeemed. We're free. We have been set free. We sing about that in Amazing Grace. I've been set free. I've been redeemed by his blood. We hear these terms. In Ephesians 1 verse 7 it says, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." He purchased our freedom. That act that happened with Adam where everyone got taken down that hole of mess and sin, and that animal had to be sacrificed to cover it up, and animals had to get continually sacrificed because nothing we could do could fix that problem. That's what Jesus did. He is the ultimate sacrifice, and it's with that he bought our freedom. He completely paid for it. You know, when you go and, you know, we use that word in commerce, redeem. We redeem something. We purchase it. We pay something for it. Well, God paid with the blood of his son so that any punishment that we deserve was gone, was wiped clean. The slate was clean. We were washed and free. That's the first thing. How amazing is that? Like, we can't pretend that just because we might be quite good that we don't need this, because the Bible says everyone needs this. And Adam showed us that he took everyone down that path, no matter how good they look on the outside. The second thing is that we've been forgiven. So we haven't just been brought back home. We've actually been forgiven. We're not just living in the house and there's this kind of grudge going on and this awkwardness, and forevermore we have to make up for the price, for the cost that we were. We've got to keep doing these good things. We've got to keep, you know, oh, I've got to go to church. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray. I've got to do all these things. I've got to do good things to the poor. I have to tithe. I have to give. No, actually, none of that, because we've been forgiven. It says in 1 John 1 verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. While we were still sinning, while we were still doing the wrong thing, Jesus died for us. He did that ahead of time. And when we realize that, we can actually receive that. You know, he can pay for us, but we can still think we have to work our way home. We can still think, okay, I've been paid for, but I have to go to church every day or every Sunday, and I have to make sure I read my Bible, and I have to make sure I pray, and I have to do all these things. Otherwise, I can't actually go back home. I can't actually be with God because I have to do all those things. But no, we're forgiven, and we don't actually have to do any of those. We love you here, by the way. But you're not here because you have to be. It's when we realize, when we confess our sins, it's when we go, oh yeah, I stuffed up. I got it wrong. I'm the one that got it wrong. It's no one else around me. It's nothing to do with anyone else. But the way I'm feeling, where I'm at, who I am, is completely and utterly me. And I'm sorry, God. And that's when we can then receive the forgiveness that he has already died for. And in that process of receiving it, number three, we're cleaned, we're made holy. There's a great big word, kids, I'm sanctified. I become a saint. How weird is that? The Bible says we're saints. Some of you were once like that, as in sinning. I think it might have been all of us. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You know, that's in Corinthians 6 verse 11. And it's specifically talking to the Corinthians, but that's why I said some of you, because it's dealing with something specific. But it's us too. It's all of us. It's all of us that when we call on that name of Jesus, that we are cleansed, that we are made holy. We're set apart for his purposes. We don't have to be just it's not just the lampstand or the other bits and pieces that they had in the tabernacle. that were made holy with blood sprinkled on them, the blood of the sacrifice in the temple. Now that's us. Now we're the vessel that God wants to use, and God sets apart by sprinkling the blood of his son on us, not literally, but in what he did dying on the cross. And you know, that's why we remember it so much with communion, that blood that actually makes us clean. How amazing that we are made saints in God's eyes, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And the fourth thing in making us saints is that we've been made right with God. We've been justified. In Romans 4, verse 24, it says, "And when God counted him," he's talking about Abraham, "as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." This wasn't for Bible times. This wasn't, you know, for the Old Testament. This wasn't to sort out all those people that were doing really bad things in the Bible. This was for us. Abraham showed us the way. He believed God. He had faith. And it was recorded to his, you know, for his reckon, you know, it was given to him as righteousness because he believed in the one that was to come. He believed in the promise that Jesus was. And it's the same for us, that when we believe in the promise of who Jesus is, then we are also made right with God. Those things, those four things, that we're free, we're forgiven, we're clean, and we're made right with God. Jesus did all of that on the cross. The death of Jesus changes everything. It completely turns our world upside down. And where the Roman Empire is no more, Jesus is. He is still reigning because he gave up everything. He is truly the God that we can worship. He is truly the one that we can fix our eyes on and pin our hopes on, because no other thing can change what happens in here. No other thing can get rid of the shame that we feel. Everything else is just a patch-up job, just a covering of some dead animals. Jesus is the one that washes it clean and fixes it. And that's what Jesus does for us. The other benefits, anything else on top of that, it's wonderful. But I'm just interested in this bit, because that bit makes my life worth living. That's the bit that means I can stand now and live my life in freedom and fullness. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says, "He has enabled us to represent, to be ministers of his new covenant." There's a new agreement now with God, a new covenant. And it's not written down in laws like in Leviticus, in those old things in the Old Testament. It's not written down there, but it's in the Spirit. This is a covenant, not written laws that end in death, But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. When we accept the death of Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we accept it, when we receive it, everything about our past can die. Everything that was messed up can go, and we can have life. And no matter how that life is played out practically, whether we're in abundance or life is still a struggle, it doesn't change what Jesus has done. The outward appearance makes no difference to, you know, in terms of practical things. It's what God has done inwardly that's changed. And inside, I can live. Inside, I can be free. Inside, I can worship. Inside, I can rejoice. Inside, I can be thankful. I can love. I can give. I can stand tall because I'm free, I'm forgiven, I'm clean, and I'm made right with God. So just as we finish, and I don't know if the musos want to come up and what you've got at the end, but feel free. I just want to encourage, you know, everyone now, just, you know, just to reflect on that. What exactly it is. Yeah, go for it. What is it that Jesus has done for you? What is it that he's cleaned out inside? Can you think back to a time when it wasn't so good? And now can you see that he's healed you? Think back to that time, because this is a time when we remember that. We remember the agony that happened on the cross for that moment in time. Or the time when you realized what it was all about. You know, you might have grown up knowing a lot of stuff, but then something clicked and suddenly you realized, and that just complete amount of thankfulness and awe over everything that Jesus did. Or it might be that you still feel that shame inside, that you're finding different ways to cover it up. You might have tried different faiths or different religions, or you might have tried being really good, or you might have tried just kind of losing it, just giving up altogether. But there's always something that's trying to cover up what you're feeling, because you know that something's out of kilter, something's not right. What's not right is your relationship with God, nothing else. And that's what Jesus died for, your relationship with God. And so this morning is an opportunity to put everything else aside, everything else you might have tried, everything else you might have pinned a hope on, and just go, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you. I believe that you died, that you are God, and you came down to earth and you died to make us right with God again. As you do that, as you speak those words, you know, I encourage you to actually speak them out loud. God loves to hear your voice. He's in your head all the time. Loves to hear your voice. Speak it out. And I can guarantee, beyond a doubt, that from that moment forward, river will just come washing through. It's the Spirit of God just coming through, touching you. Might start as a trickle. Sometimes we don't kind of know how to work with it. Sometimes it you know, things need a slow washing away. They might just collapse otherwise. God does it kindly, slowly. But sometimes it just needs a big gush. God will do what is right for you. You just stick by Him. You just stick close. And He'll show you what comes next. He'll show you how to read and find out more about Him. He'll show you how to talk to Him using your words, not other people's, yours. And He'll show you the person that you really are meant to be, that He created to be. So right now I'm just going to pray. And if you want to copy this prayer, feel free. And if you want to edit it for where you're at, do that too. Lord God, we thank You this morning. We just stand here in awe of You, completely and utterly amazed that You, God, would come down to earth, that You would forsake everything, give up everything for us. And so, Jesus, I see that You are God. I know that You came down to earth as a man. And I believe that You died the death that I was supposed to die. I'm sorry for everything that I've messed up in my world. Take hold of the shame and wash it clean. And help me to follow You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.